And we do pray today, Lord, for just your word. We thank you for your word, every single letter and word in this Bible, Lord. We're so thankful and grateful that we can come together. And we just worship you. We thank you that you're just so good. And we just pray that you would open our eyes and our ears today. We come just prepared to hear your word. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So worthy is the Lamb. So this week was Yom Kippur, which I was reminded of, I guess, Tuesday or something like that. And I don't know if anybody, you know, I think when we were singing that song today, I was just thinking when I first became a Christian, didn't even know what that meant. Worthy was the Lamb. I didn't know what the Lamb, where that came from, you know. But Liam and I were reading Wednesday night just about some of the scriptures about Yom Kippur and what is that and Rosh Hashanah. And, you know, so I'm thankful and grateful today that we had a Lamb that was slain, that all our sins were transferred to. So I know it was kind of an interesting, it came alive to me this year. So it's kind of passed over the past few years. It just kind of came and went. And, oh, wait, that was, you know, we don't think about that in kind of the American Christian church. I don't think a lot of times about the feasts and stuff like that. I know we have at our church, thankfully, you know, read the scriptures and stuff like that and studied and learned and seen what it is, you know, what it's about. But anyways, worthy is the Lamb. So thankful. So today we're going to be in Psalms 34. So if you want to turn there. And actually, Luke, we were, Tam and I were in Virginia this past week seeing the twins. And they go to school there. I think you guys, most of y'all know. And it was really good to see them. It was just a real interesting, different trip because my parents came. And we had Dave and, or Shannon and Abby came because she's interviewing there. So there was a lot of busyness. There was a lot of just going here, going there. It was kind of one of those vacations where Tam and I were like, we got to get home so we can get some rest. It was just a lot of busyness, but it was good. The boys are doing well. And Luke brought this verse up one time just in the week, and it has really, I've been feeding on it all week, so it's really blessed me. So I thought I'd share it today. But Psalms 34. And I hope everybody here knows we're poor, blind, naked. We're coming to hear from the Lord. You know, I thought about this last night. We had some friends over. You know, the boys do speech and debate. And the homeschool world and speech and debate world is, the people in that those groups are sinful, just like the world to a certain extent. Sometimes it's worse. I'm almost like embarrassed. You know, I'm like, no, this is not how the kingdom is. You know, sometimes the world's organizations are more normal than some of these crazy groups. So, you know, just in case anybody has any sort of illusion that it's any different, it's not. People are sinful. So we come today poor, blind, and naked to hear, you know, what God has to say. So Psalm 34, verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. When I read that this week, I was thinking, and no griping. There's no griping. If your praise is continually in my mouth, that means gripe can't come out of the same mouth. Just praise. It's just praise. So, one of my favorite verses, Philippians 4, where it just says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. He commands us. Hey, rejoice, trust me. It says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. One of the things that brought up this, one of our conversations with our friends that came over last night, was just some of the contention that's going on in our club that we have. And, you know, it talks about it in Corinthians where there's, you know, arguments in the church and stuff like that. And really a lot of that comes from just pride, you know, not humbling ourselves to just, you know, take the beam out of our own eye. You know, we're accusing somebody else, but we haven't come and said, Lord, what in me, you know, is there any unclean thing in me? You know, everybody wants to point the finger to somebody else. So it says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. And I shared this verse, oh, I don't know, a couple of months ago. I think it was at Fort Worth. And I've heard somebody talk about this verse or something like this verse before. Andrew Womack had I don't know if y'all have listened to his teaching, but he had, at one point he was talking about like a set of binoculars where you look through them and it magnifies, it brings it right close to you. If you turn it around, it sends it, you know, it's the other way, it goes, it's far. But I thought about this verse this week. Like I said, this verse has just really ministered to me this week, because a lot of troubles and trials just all over, you know, work and everything, just in our life, in this world, we will have troubles. But what are we magnifying? You know, if the Lord is our Lord and he is always on our mind and always in our heart, and that's our focus, that's our life, we're magnifying Him. What are we magnifying? Our problems, or, you know, but you think about it, what are we constantly talking about? You know, that's where the whole thing, your praise shall continually be in my mouth, or are my troubles and my trials and everything that I'm focused on, my little circle, you know, what am I magnifying? So I think that's a powerful verse. And it's funny, because in this chapter, you know, it starts with O. O, magnify the Lord. That's, that O is like, it's like, oh, you know, it's like there's those, David's writing this psalm. It's a psalm of David. It's a, what do they call those, where the letter, it starts with a, in the Hebrew, what's the word? There's a word for it, I can't remember. Where it's like a poem, where the first letter's like Psalm 119, right? It's one of the, what's the word? I can't remember the word. Yeah. But anyways, the Lord wants us to remember this. You know, those were kind of written so that we could remember these. You know, it's to memorize it, you know, like we did the Apostles' Creed, you know, we're to memorize these things, to know them, you know. But there's several verses in here where it starts with O. You know, and that's what, it's every single letter, every single word in this thing is something. But David was, he was like, oh, Lord. You know, I don't know if y'all ever have that where you're driving. It can be a trouble, or it can be a, oh, God. It's, yeah, right. It's like a, it's, there's a, God hears our sighs, you know, and He knows our things, where we're just like, oh, Lord, You're good. You know, says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. David was thankful. It's a, they say this is a psalm of thanksgiving. You know, it's just, there's gratitude. There's so much just, you know, and that's why it's, we see we're poor, blind, and naked, and it produces a, oh, you know, it produces a thank you, Jesus. It produces a worthy is the Lamb. It produces a thank you, Jesus, that our sins are, we don't, they're not us. We're transferring onto this Lamb, and we're free, you know. So, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. So there's a lot, there's, as we go through here, there's, it talks about the fear of the Lord in this chapter. This is delivering us from all our fears, all the things that probably torment us, that, you know, trouble us. You know, I was thinking about, I'm reading a book. Anybody heard of Malcolm Gladwell? Y'all know who that guy is? Interesting guy. He's a statistician type guy, but I've got a few of his books, but he wrote one called David and Goliath. And he's looking at all these things through history. He starts with the story of David and Goliath, but he's talking about all kind of different stuff just in life where there's underdogs, you know, and he studies this stuff out. And it's actually really, really interesting book. But, you know, when I was reading through this, I just kind of read this book, or I'm not all the way through it, but I'd already read the chapter about David and Goliath, so that was real fresh, you know, in me. And, you know, when it's in 1 Samuel 17, but it talks about where on one side there's the Philistine army, you know, and on the other side there's Israel. And one thing that caught my eye when I was reading it a couple weeks ago is, this went on for a while. This wasn't like on Monday, here's the Philistines, and then Monday evening, here's Israel, and this is all happening. It was like a while, right? And they were over there. Israel was afraid of the Philistines and this big, huge giant. And they were magnifying, literally, just like they were ever before, the Israel, you know, Israel's, this is what they were magnifying, you know? Well, David comes along. He was not magnifying them. He was saying, who is this that defies the living God? You know, who is this? He was magnifying God. You know, to him, God was bigger than this 10 foot or however. It could have been 20 feet. You know, I was sharing, I think it was last Sunday at the Fort Worth church. I had a really weird situation at work last Friday, and I pulled up to my building. I had a meeting, and it was like Forney, like hour east of Dallas. And I pull up to my store about noon, and I get up there, and there's an ambulance in front of the building, which isn't that uncommon for a Walmart. That's, you know, every now and then there's stuff going on. So I walk in, and one of my CSMs comes up to me, and she's kind of frazzled, and she's like, "Oh, Jeff, there's this guy, da-da-da, and he's, you know, he called the ambulance on himself, and he's causing problems. He's, you know," and I don't know who they're talking about. Evidently, he'd been through several times our building and caused chaos. And the ambulance had come, and they're like, "Oh, it's Kevin," you know, like he does this regularly or something. And he'd already been released, and this guy had... You know, and then someone else comes up to me, and they're like, "This guy was in electronics, and he was causing all these problems, and he was over here." And the guy kept causing all these problems throughout my story. He'd been there for like 2 hours. And I had a meeting in the back of the building, so I'm going to the back, and I'm meeting with some vendors, and then I hear on the walkie-talkie that this guy's now, he's at the service desk, he's making phone calls, this and that, and I'm like, "Hold on real quick, guys." So I go to the front. I go up to the front, and this guy's 6'5", I don't know. And I said, "Hang the phone up." And he's like starting to die. He hangs the phone up. And he turns into like a 3-year-old boy right in front of me. And I said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Follow me." And he's like thinking we're going. I said, "No, we're going outside." So we start going outside. And all my employees that are around, they're like, "Oh gosh, Jeff's about to get pummeled." So this guy's following me. And I'm like, "Come on, hurry up." So I'm, because he's walking slow. So I said, "Come on, I got stuff to do." So I tell him, "Hurry up." So we start walking. And then we get out the door, and he's trying to go over here. He's like, "Oh," I said, "No, we're going over here." So I'm walking him to the end of the parking lot. I said, "Come on, hurry up." And I'm like, "What are you doing? You're terrorizing my building. Don't ever come back here again. If I see your face," I said, "I'm calling the police. And as soon as they come, you're going to go to prison." He's probably on something. So he's starting to get afraid. And so by the time I'm done talking to him, he's running off, and he starts running down the street like sprinting. I said, "Don't ever come back." This was not Jesus, the Holy Spirit in me, but our church could probably understand this more than most churches. Most churches might be like, "Man, you need to witness to this guy." No, I need to run him off is what I need to do. So
you said what needed to be said.
Yeah, he understood it. So, you know, just the Lord gave, the Holy Spirit, I trust, was speaking through me and to me. But he had terrorized my store for 2 hours. And I, you know, as I was walking back, the Lord spoke to me. He said, "That's how Satan is. If you allow him, he will just terrorize you. But we have this authority in God that's bigger than the biggest guy. You know, we have the Holy Spirit. We have God, who's our authority. That's who we rest in, you know, because we don't, I would have got slaughtered by this guy. But the Holy Spirit, God, he's bigger, he's greater. He that's in us is greater than he that's in the world." So, you know, at one point David, you know, I think I shared this, but David asked, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that's terrorizing the armies of the living God?" Right. We allow this, you know, this is what we allow. You know, we have this authority in the Lord over Satan. You know, we think he's this big, mighty, and he is bigger than me. He's way bigger. He would slaughter me, kill me. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. You know, so I remember, I think it was Grady O'Brien used to say, you know, he's a toothless monster, you know, he's just gnawing at you. And that's how he is, you know. And I think the biggest thing is we're deceived. You know, he just tricks us. He just makes us think that he's great. And so we are afraid, you know. So there's fear throughout, written throughout this chapter. So we'll kind of keep reading here, but it says, "I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and deliver them." That's powerful. That's powerful. Liam and I went camping one time. We had a speech and debate tournament in Arkansas, and Liam and I took our tent and we went camping. It was up in the Ozarks, like Arkansas area, and we went camping. And we're laying there, and about 3 o'clock in the morning, and we've got a little bitty two-person tent, and we're just laying there, we're asleep. Don't know if it was a bear, a hog. I don't know. I called the park ranger the next day because I was like, what? We had a huge something in the tents. There were some tents. It wasn't total primitive camping. There was probably, I don't know, three or four other tents, pretty serious campers, not too far from us. And I saw him turn his light on. And I mean, it was like, you know, in a tent, you're right here. The tent's right here. It was right there. I'm literally, and all I have this Smith & Wesson knife that from Tim's wedding, actually. You remember those things? It was about this big, but it ain't going to do nothing for that. What, you know? I was getting a plan because I had no gun. I was like, okay, can I do one of those? You know? But this thing was huge. So... I don't know where was I going with that story? Huh? Yeah, I was afraid. There was a lot of fear going through my body. Adrenaline.
The Lord encamps around
you. There it is. The Lord was in my camp. He was the angel of the Lord was encamped round about us, protecting us.
You can get past the fire.
Yeah. I know everybody has thought this as believers, but you know, just at some point we're probably gonna know. I don't know if we ever know in heaven. To see the amount of times angels have protected us.
Amen.
You know, and how many there are. I always think of that story where there's Elijah and Elisha, and it's the two of them, and they're surrounded. Y'all know that story? And one of them prays and says, open the eyes of my servant that he would see. Because he says, that's where he says, greater are they that's with us than these armies. And his eyes were open and he saw just the host, whole heavenly host around him, surrounding him, protecting him. You know, but I thought that was interesting. It says, the angel of the Lord encamps around them that fear him. That fear him. Do we fear him? Do we reverence him? You know what I mean? There's no fear. There's a lot of no fear, a lot of cockiness and pride. And, you know, we don't fear him, you know. But this is interesting because as we go through, there's something that I love that we're about to get to that really came, you know, I heard this week, and we're about to get to it here in a few verses, so I'll save it. So he encamps around them that fear him and deliver them. Oh, taste, here's another taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, it's funny, these friends that were over. Hey guys, how are y'all?
Fine.
We're in Psalm 34.
Thank you.
These friends that came over last night, we didn't really have dinner. We just started throwing a bunch of stuff out. Eli had a baseball game. It was like a smorgasbord, random pizza and cookie and, you know, all this different kind of stuff. But, you know, we got to talking about just, Tam was, should I make the, what was it? Brussels sprouts.
Yeah.
Tam makes these awesome Brussels sprouts. You ever had the Brussels sprouts that are like caramelized?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Well, Tam makes the best, like. And we get them at different places. They're just awesome. But I was thinking about, as a kid, if there's one food, I didn't even know what a breath. I grew up on Doritos and Captain Crunch. Like, I didn't even eat one fresh thing my entire growing up. I'm serious. Until, like, later when the Lord said, hey, maybe we should try a different diet. So, and I know everybody, you know, as you get older, there's... This starts to come up, right? As a kid, you can eat anything and you're running and, you know, but there was a point in time where the Lord dealt with me on this kind of stuff. But I was thinking, even this morning as we were driving in, we were still kind of talking about, you know, these Brussels sprouts because we didn't make them, but I love them. Can we have them today? You know, but it's funny because isn't that how God is though? I didn't even know people ate spinach that wasn't in like a can all. I can't stand that kind of spinach where it's in a can. I didn't know people ate fresh, green, live, living spinach, like a spinach salad. I love those. It's my favorite. But as a kid or growing up, the two things that you could gross a kid out or gross me out with was Brussels sprouts and spinach. I'm like, ugh. Okay? But I've since tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Probably two of my favorite things now. You know what I mean? Isn't that how God is, though? He hides sometimes. Don't misunderstand. He's not hiding to not be found. He's hiding to be found. You know, but he wants us to find him. He wants us to seek him. You know, I was even thinking this morning about, you know, people talk about, Tam and I've had these conversations back in A&M and kind of, you know, kind of the having a devotion or a quiet time in the morning can almost sometimes have this negative connotation from the standpoint of, you're so great because you came and had this morning devotion. You know, but this morning the Lord spoke to me about this. It was interesting. I saw his devotion to me in that time. His devotion to me. He takes the time. I'm coming to hear from him. It's not my greatness to come and bring all my great stuff to him. I just saw it different this morning. You know, I saw it just kind of him speaking to me, you know, and I wrote it down. I don't know where it went, but I don't know. Devotions. God's devoted to us. We are honored to come and have him devote or appropriate his life into us daily, is how I was kind of hearing it. I was kind of heading to the shower. It was just one of those. I saw it different this morning. You know, it was, you know, I think we think that a morning devotion is my devotion to him. My time's devoted to him. No, it's his time. It's me coming. I'm coming, but as a poor, blind, and naked, and his devotion to me, commitment to me, him as the potter, me as the clay, Lord, change me today. You know, I recognize that who you are in me. So, I don't know, I just looked at it different this morning. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed, happy is the man that trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. There's no want to them that fear him. Because we have everything. We have everything. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. And as at his right hand, pleasures forevermore. So taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions, they lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Okay, guys, this is powerful. Listen to this. Verse 11. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I love that. Because you hear all the fear of the Lord, fear of the Lord, you know. But I love that we can, as a believer, go, I don't even know if I do fear the Lord. I don't know how to fear the Lord. What is it to fear the Lord? Come, I'm going to teach you. I got everything about you. I have everything about your growth. I'm in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's the one that's in us. He's the one that's making us. He's the one that created us. It's him in us. That's freeing to me, because otherwise to say fear the Lord, you think you got to go do something. You got to go figure out how to fear the Lord. Am I fearing the Lord? Am I not fearing the Lord? Come. I'm going to teach you. And we have, and just think, this is powerful. Think about this. And as I share the rest of this today, think about what I'm about to say. You see the Lord giving this to David, and as he's writing it down, and you'll see it as we finish this chapter today, you'll see the Lord, how he gave this to David. Like, he foresaw Jesus in this. Okay? Just keep that in mind. You could see the Lord giving hints through here. His mercy, his grace was there, but think of Jesus through here. He's about to talk about righteousness, right? Tam and I were praying this morning coming in, and I turned around. I was like, are you righteous? Yeah. We know what that means. Of course we are. In him. It's not Jeff's righteous. The faithful prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Are we righteous? Yes. Because it's Jesus. It's like, Jesus, are you righteous still? Yes. You know? What man is he that desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. That reminds me of Isaiah 26. He keeps him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. He's always before us. He's always with us. He's always, and we have the Holy Spirit to keep us, to protect us, to remind us, to teach us. You know, and that's why I was sharing that about. You see the Lord giving David, you know, all the revelation of the Savior that's coming, even here. You see it, and there's some real specific things we're going to read here in just a minute that you see that. You see the Lord giving David this understanding of a Messiah, of a mercy, of grace. So, it says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry." We are righteous. We are righteous. Not because we're righteous, but because he's righteous in us. And we're putting our hope in him. "The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth." You know, there's a verse in Hebrews. Let's see. I think it's Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, 28 says, "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." So we could, there's a lot we could talk about as far as holiness and reverence and fear of the Lord. And, you know, there's a lot we could talk about on that, but he's our holiness. But there is an actual righteousness that comes from our spending time with him. There is a, and there's sin that God does not like. You know, that he will convict us. He will change us. He will say, don't do this, do this. The same way if Liam's going out in the street, I'm like, oh no, come on. You know, or he does something that's, you know, worthy of a spanking, he will get a spanking. Okay. Now, in our house, we do a spanking, but then there's a hug right afterwards. Okay. And I had a situation this past week right before we went to Virginia with one of my associates, and I came with a hard spanking, and I didn't circle back around with a hug, metaphorically, but with a encouragement after that, and it caused a lot of problems, you know. And even as I'm kind of packing and had all the busyness of getting ready to go, I had my personnel gal call me, "Hey, Jeff, got a problem here, da da da," and I'm like, "Have her call home office. I don't even care if, because beyond me, that's the next spot in those stores. If it was department manager, you go to the next level. You go to the next level, you know, for a situation like that. Past me in my building, you got to go to home office. Have her call. I'll call him myself. I'll tell him what's going on." So, but it did cause a lot of problems. But my point is just that with the hard word, the truth, there's the mercy, you know, and it says mercy's greater than judgment in Hebrews. We rely on his mercy. We rely on his mercy. Says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry." Thank you, Lord. "The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles." That's powerful. Thank you, Lord. "The Lord is close, is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Many, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. "He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken." Does that remind you of anything? John, yeah, John 19. I want to read it real quick. It says, "Then came the soldiers and brake the legs." This was after Jesus was crucified. "Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith there came blood and water." Do you see? It was like the Lord gave us a hint in this psalm. Hey guys, That's because it's random. I've never really saw that. I never really understood that too much. It's like, what does that have to do? Maybe there's some deeper meaning than what I'm getting, but I think it's pretty powerful. It's like the Lord put this little hint in the psalm so that we could see this was Jesus in the psalm. And David, why? It's random. It's non sequitur right there about breaking his bones right there in Psalms. Unless there's some deeper meaning that I just don't understand. But I think it's real powerful, like a hint from the Lord to just show us that to see Jesus in the psalm and to recognize the righteousness, it's Jesus. You know, it's like a hint of what's coming, you know. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Thank you, Lord. So we seek him, we trust him. And he's our deliverer, he's our provider, he's our everything. You know, I see different people that I work with or in your little circles that you're talking to. And there's some people that are Christians, that are new Christians that I work with and stuff. And I see them go through stuff. And I see their toil. I see them this way or this way. And I just see the end that they don't see yet, because I've been through so many trials and troubles, things that we've gone through. You see, you're like, don't worry, keep going. You know the Lord's going to deliver them. And you see the benefit of the trial in a weird sort of way. You see the blessing of that. You know, I was thinking when I was reading this where it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Anybody read Fox's Book of Martyrs? Or, I mean, obviously you see all the stuff in the Old Testament, I mean, in the New Testament with the disciples. You got Peter crucified upside down, Stephen stoned to death, James stoned and beaten to death, John cooked in boiling oil, sent to Patmos. Mark beheaded, Paul, John the Baptist, and James all beheaded. You don't hear that a lot these days. Because the New Testament Christianity, at least in America, we call them first world problems. You know, when we're like, my cell phone battery's out. Oh, you know, we call it a first world problem, you know? Something that's a real annoyance to me, but it may not in the grand scheme of things be the worst thing ever. You know, it's not the worst. Tim Hawkins has a... You guys ever listen to Tim Hawkins? Y'all know who he is? Oh, man. You guys need to check out Tim Hawkins. He's funny stuff. But he's just a Christian brother that... He's just funny. He's a comedian. But he has a whole thing about when, you know, his daughter... They're pulling up to the mall and the friends aren't there. And she's like, oh, this is the worst. He's like, well, is that the worst? You know, there's the guys in the stuck in the coal mine in Chile, you know. They're not thinking... That's probably not the worst. I don't know. The way he said it, it's just really funny. But, you know, it's the perspective of things. But it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. You know, I was just thinking about all the disciples, you know, that those afflictions, they were killed. They were crucified. That was some troubles. Did God deliver them out of them? Because he says he delivers us out of them all. Yeah. That was kind of the ultimate affliction, the ultimate trial. But just right on the flip side of that, there's glory, there's eternity. That's going to be nothing at some point. So I don't know, I want to kind of finish here. Just, you know, we talked about Stephen. It's one of my most powerful. I love this verse in Acts. It's in Acts 7. And well, we'll read. Hold on, let's see. I was reading this morning, just, you know, talking about John and, you know, all these disciples. I was chewing on these guys getting killed and crucified and all these problems that they had, you know, from living a life in connection with God, with Jesus, right? It says, this is in Revelations. So listen to this, reflecting back on the first part of the first verse in 34, where, you know, he talks about praise always continually being in his mouth, right? And here's John on the island of Patmos, okay? This is the first chapter of Revelations, the first few verses. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Okay, and then listen to this. Who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all the things that he saw. Blessed is he that reads and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace. And this is a guy boiled in oil, and this is after that. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and had made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Praise was continually in his mouth. Went through trial, went through trouble, boiled in some, and he's just praising, thankful, you know. And then this is what I wanted to kind of finish with in Acts. Good morning. How are you? All right, let's go to Acts real quick here. Okay, this is Acts 7, probably one of my most favorite. This is just so powerful. Okay, this is Stephen, okay? And Stephen spends all of chapter 7, you talk about a witness, he tells the entire story of the Bible, you know? He's right there, and it says, and he's talking to the high priests. So he's talking to these religious people, and he's going through the entire history of the Bible.
What chapter?
Acts 7, 1. Okay. Yeah, and we don't have to read through the whole chapter, because it's really long, but it talks about, it says, then said the high priest, are these things so? And he said, men, brethren, and fathers, listen, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan, and said unto him, get thee out of the country. So he's going to start going through the history of the Bible, and he's witnessing to these high priests. Okay, and it keeps going. It says, and the patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with them and delivered him out of all of his afflictions. Keeps going through chapter 23. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel, talking about Moses. And he keeps going. He's literally just going through the entire Bible. Okay, but go down to verse 54. Chapter 7, verse 54. Okay, and he's finishing up. Stephen went through, I mean, it's a whole page and a half in my little small type Bible. It's a lot that he's sharing with these people. And in verse 54 it says, and when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up, that's important, he's full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God. And listen to this, I love this, probably one of my most favorite lines in the Bible right here. And Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Powerful. It's like a standing ovation. Amen. It's like Jesus giving Stephen a standing ovation. You know, because he's always sitting on the right hand of God. Yeah. And here, he saw him standing. It's powerful. Amazing. Powerful. And said, behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And if you go down into 8, just dip into that first verse right there. And Saul was consenting unto his death. So it didn't change Saul immediately, but there was he was agreeing with this stoning. This was Paul, you know, Saul's deal. But you don't think a seed was planted?
Oh, yeah.
Boy, there's not a stronger testimony and witness. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church was at Jerusalem. So the persecution they got was a little different than the persecution we're getting. Though there is persecution still. But back then it was, you know, your head's cut off and all this kind of stuff. So, Psalm 34, powerful. There's a lot there. I would encourage you guys to dig in on that. And I don't know, kind of threw out a lot of different stuff. We went through the whole thing, but it's been speaking to me and ministering to me this week, so that's why I wanted to share it today. God's good. God's good. Does anybody have a testimony? We usually do testimonies at the beginning. We do it at the end today. Yeah, anytime. You can testify anytime. There's no rule. Does anybody have a testimony from the week or today or something the Lord's showing you? Or
the communion of saints, that's us. Forgiveness of sins. The resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. All of these things, he's already done that. He's delivered me out of all my troubles. Now, you could look at your circumstances, but you could just look at his promise. Say, he's delivered me out of all my troubles. You know, the first deliverance from all your troubles is deliverance from fear.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Yep.
And the thought of the troubles. It's not like the troubles aren't there. It's just that you're not afraid of them.
An interesting thing, I don't know, I didn't research this out, but I've read before that David, writing this psalm, was in the land of the Philistines. Actually, he was running from Saul when he wrote this psalm. So there's, you know, just a lot of verses about remembering what the Lord's done for us. But he's right there in the land where he defeated this massive, big army. So he's remembering, you know, what God's done for him, you know.
And to always remember what God has done. You're always rehearsing it. Amen?
And he was speaking it with his mouth.
Yeah.
You know, he was saying, the Lord's delivered me out of my troubles. He's in a trouble. Saul's chasing him, trying to kill him. He's in the midst of a lot of troubles because Saul had a lot of guys chasing him.
Yeah.
It wasn't just, this was a problem.
Yeah.
He's hiding. He's running for his life. But he's speaking this and remembering the victories that he has had in his life. You know, so he spoke. You know, death and life is in the power of the tongue. There's something to just speaking the truth. No, you've delivered me from all my troubles.
Amen.
And you're going to look like an idiot saying it. If, you know, Tam's the most honest person from the standpoint of it's taken years to be able to speak truth because it's like, no, that's not what I see. But we don't go by what we see. It's like, Dan, like what you just said, right, when you came in. We don't see it all the time. We do get to see it. We do get to taste and see that the Lord is good in this land sometimes, often, you know. But we don't always see it like in our circle, in our lives. There's pain, you know, there's troubles.
The song we sang this morning said, taste and see that the Lord is good. He's turned my mourning, M-O-U-R-N, sin, into dancing. Mm-hmm. It doesn't look like it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't sound like it. You know. But the fact is even in the midst of trouble, he causes me to rejoice. That's why we take this meal, is that because we know that he delivered us. We're delivered by the blood of the Lamb and
Amen.
The word of our testimony. So, Father, we thank you for this meal today. We thank you that you gave us one little simple thing to do that just causes us to remember your deliverance for us. Everything that you did. So, Father, we thank you that the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus, in the night in which you were betrayed, you took that bread and you gave it to your disciples. And you said, take and eat. For this body, this bread is my body, which is broken for you. I thought he wasn't broken. Well, but he was broken. He was destroyed. He was killed for you. And so, take this bread and eat it. This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. And after supper, he took the cup in the same way. And he said, and he gave it to them saying, drink all, each of you drink from this cup. For this cup is the new covenant of my blood, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of your sins, the wiping out of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So let's take the bread. Jeff, would you pray?
Father, we thank you for sending your Son, for sending Jesus to us, who is broken, who is the Lamb that was slain for us, that took all of our sin and our shame. We thank you, you paid for past sins, present, future. You covered it all, and we just rest in that. And we thank you for your Son. Jesus, we thank you for dying on the cross for us and for just being the perfect sacrifice for us, Father. In Jesus' name, we thank you.